Let's read from chapter 4. This is a pretty simple scripture here to understand. And then I'll refer back to maybe one little thing here in chapter 3. And if everything goes well, we'll just see what the Lord will tell us. Two or three nights here, you folks were real hungry and the Lord spoke. I'm less than nothing. I appreciate the things that Brother Taylor says, and I appreciate what others say. And today, someone was making some statements, but it's like I told them today, I feel less than a shoestring. I really do. You know, you don't never know how the other fellow feels. Sometimes we judge another fellow, and we understand in our hearts how we think he feels, but you can't imagine. You don't even have any idea. I'm less than the least. I'm less than nothing. I'm less than dirt. And I feel that way. I mean, I can tell it. I can feel it. I can tell that I'm not anything. But there's one thing that I do know. This message is right. It's of God. I do know that. And we're here to talk about it tonight. But the book of Ephesians chapter 4. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherewith he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And then we find in chapter 3, for this call I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge and the mysteries of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Here Paul is saying in chapter 3, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge and the mystery of Christ. He said, was not made known in the ages past to the sons of men. He said, but by revelation, God made it known unto me. Whereas the Bible said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. One spirit, many operations. And he said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. For I would like to speak unto you as unto spirituals, he said as to the people in his day, but I cannot do that, seeing that you're babes in Christ. Just desire the sin-sealed milk of the word that you might grow thereby. He speaks here. In the 10th verse, he says, now, to the intent that now under the principalities and powers and heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. So then, we now know that since Calvary, we have this heavenly treasure in earthen vessels. That is to say, we actually have this heavenly treasure in our earthen vessels, which is the knowledge of God. It is the knowledge of God. We have this knowledge of God. Now, I know when we think naturally, you know, we think about something naturally, and we think about treasures like rubies and diamonds and pearls and gold and silver, automobiles and homes and all these kind of things. But in all reality, it was the Word of God. It was the knowledge of God. It was God's Word that said, let there be a diamond, and let there be a ruby, and let there be a you, and let there be a me, and let there be stars, and let there be an ocean, and all these wonderful things. See, the treasure is the mind of Christ, and the treasure is the Word of God. And the Bible said he sent his Word and healed them. By his Word, he cast out the unclean spirits. And the Bible said his Word was with power. And the Bible said the gospel as to the Word of God is the power of God. Even unto salvation as to deliverance, whatever it might be. And the Bible says that he upholds the heavens by his word. He said, let there be, and it came forth. Everything is by the word. You're saved by the word, by faith in the word. And the word of Jesus is the same yesterday, today and forever, the same to 1,000 generations, which means the same way that the prophets could hear the word as the word came into the prophets and they could believe on the word and work their great wonders. They did the same thing when Peter, James, and Paul came along as the word of the Lord came unto them. They believed on it and worked their wonders. In our day, it's the same way. When the word of God comes along unaltered and unchanged to every generation, then he works his wonders with it. And the Bible said he's able to do abundantly and above all that we're able to ask or think by the Spirit that worketh within us. So then we see that he is doing these great wonderful things with his children, having in time past spoken unto us by the prophets, and through the law hath in this last day spoken unto us by his son Jesus, which means his own flesh and blood, his own flesh and bones. For ye are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And ye are the body of Christ Jesus as members in particular. And it is God that liveth in you. And it is not you speaking, but God speaking from within you. And so then it is not you living, but it is Christ that's living within you. And today the whole world will have to come and kneel at your feet and know that God has loved you. I will make them to come and kneel at your feet. And as Paul said, they glorify God within me. And as the Bible said, I praise you in a good thing. And as Brother Taylor said, esteem them high as to them that labor in the Lord, and very highly if they are truly laborers in the Lord, and give honor to all men. But them that labor in God, esteem them very highly for their work's sake, and honor all men, but count them worthy of double honor that labor in the Lord. And ye are laborers in the Lord. Jesus said the harvest is ripe, the laborers are few. So then, being laborers in the Lord, then we are brethren, and we are children, for he has sent his Spirit into our heart, crying, Abba, Father, which means that we are sons. And so then, if the Spirit of the Son is now within you, then are ye the body of the Son, as to flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. And in the day that they deliver you up, as to the world hating you, Jesus said, because they first hated me, when you are delivered up, said not to take any thought as to what you will say beforehand, nor premeditate. For in the selfsame hour it shall be given you as to what ye shall speak. For it shall not be you speaking, but God or the Holy Ghost speaking from within you, from within his temple, and that is a testimony against them in that day. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. All right, so then we see here how that the Bible says, and this I write, Paul, as said in the Pauline epistles, that you may understand my knowledge in God, and that by revelation God has given this to me. I sometimes refer to it as the book of John the Revelator, whereas really it's called, when you read it, the Revelation of Jesus Christ. And I sometimes say this to you, that the revelation of Jesus Christ, the Bible teaches that it is the revelation of Jesus Christ, not a revelation, but the revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave unto him, even Jesus Christ, that he should show to his servant John and the others these wonderful things concerning himself. But when you say revelation of Jesus Christ, you're talking about the revealing of he himself. He revealing himself unto mankind, and that within our hearts, that within our lives. And so then, as to Calvary, the rent veil, as it was rent in twain, so came the revelation, and a few years later, being exiled to the little Isle of Patmos, a little rocky island off the Asia coast, then this revelation came to John, and today it has come over to you and I, and we now have Christ within us, and this Christ on the inside of us is now from glory to glory, from one revelation to another revelation, from one understanding to another understanding, by thought to thought of transformation of your mind. He is revealing himself from within you, within your spirit, into your body, that the life of Jesus Christ might be made manifest in your mortal genes, that ye may not be as it was in your first birth, as the bastard child in the image that God hates, as to that that's out of wedlock, but that ye might be dead by the body of the Lord Jesus through Calvary, and born again as to that one that has risen from the dead, as to be the body and bone of the very Lord himself. Being delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. So then we see what a great mighty thing that God has wrought for us in Christ, in that we are God's workmanship in the Lord Jesus. And what God wanted you and I to be, he came down as the great Spirit of which he is. and made himself a human body and robed himself in a robe of flesh and became a human being or became a man and wrought salvation and conquered sin and conquered death and lived the perfect life in that he saw that we could not do it and that we could not handle it. And the Bible said, and he subdued the one that was stronger than we, which was Satan. He subdued him and subjected him and all of the angelic powers to us. And they came back, as the Bible said, 70 of them rejoicing, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us in your name. And of course, Jesus said, rejoice not because the spirits are subject unto you, but rather because your names are written in the Lamb's book of life. So then we see that God come down, he wrought it all, he did it all, he did everything. And then when he finished it, he took you as to your body, he took me as to my body, and then he was made sin. And he went to Calvary, and the Heavenly Father smote that sinful body that was my body and your body, that he would never see that bastard child image again. See that old beast image again. In iniquity did my mother conceive me. And Paul said, there's no good thing in the flesh, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? So then he done away with sin in the flesh. He condemned sin in the flesh. He did not condemn the world. He did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. The world was condemned already. But he sent his son to save the world and to condemn sin in the flesh and to take that body of sin to Calvary, pour out his wrath upon it as that old beast image, to say that sin came into the world by one man and by sin death, and now one man pays for it, and righteousness comes into the world by one man and life. And so then as sin was upon all people, now righteousness and life is upon all people. So then we see we can boldly go before the throne of grace, receiving help in the time of need, because he hath done this much for us before we was ever born in the world. He by foreknowledge elected us unto grace, predestinated us through the finished works of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he wrought in his foreknowledge as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, which was made manifest in our times. And then with this, after that, having given us this in Christ before the world ever was, having written our names down in the Lamb's book of life, as Paul saluted some of the people that worked with him and said, whose names are written down in the Lamb's book of life, and said, them that overcome, I will not blot their name out of the Lamb's book of life. And so then Paul, looking at this and we looking back at it as into Revelation, then we see that he not only gave this to us in Christ before the world ever was, but he brought it to light at Calvary, or that is, he rent the veil in twain. The Bible said he made within himself twain too, rending the veil in twain, separating the body from the spirit, that the body might be dead as to your body of sin, and that your spirit might go back to God who gave it, as having by faith through the Spirit of Christ been translated into the marvelous spirit or kingdom of God, whereas that spirit today is hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the time of the restoring or the change of that body. So then we know that the body of sin is dead. We know that it's gone, and we know because of that our sins are gone. Like the writer said as to the song, my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. They're in the sea of God's forgetfulness. That's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. And so then, that's why that we cry out so often from the scriptures, that the Bible said, he that is born of God cannot sin. There is no way he can ever sin. Never, never, no, never. See, it's not a matter, as I say so often, of holding on or holding out or whatever. It has nothing to do with your works whatsoever. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God through Jesus Christ. We say, how can it be? Because the Bible said we are God's workmanship in Christ Jesus unto good works. He hath made us in Christ to be what he desired us to be. And all he asks of us is that we come to him as to draw nigh to him when we hear this. And then he'll draw nigh to us. And then when we're born again by the Spirit of Christ coming within us, strictly by faith. He so loved us while we were yet in our sins, doing no good works, that He saved us from our sins. And once that life on the inside seals us to where we can't sin, all He requires of us is that we yield ourselves to a daily sanctification and to a daily obedience of surrendering and conforming to His design, His way, as we grow in the grace and knowledge God requires it. And in doing this, we make manifest in our mortal genes as to this outer man that wonderful life of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then, that babe on the inside, Paul said, I travail till Christ be formed within you. Or that knowledge, that mind, that foreknowledge that comes from God, that's on the inside of you, you're growing like a little child, and this knowledge is gradually, a little bit at a time, revealing itself to you, the revelation of Jesus Christ within you, to let you know that you're not who you one time was, as to that old beast body, and that worm, as he called Jacob, but that you've left the cocoon as the butterfly that goes through the metamorphosis, and you are a heavenly creature, and you're no more gravitationally bound by the sin and corruption of this world, but you've escaped this corruption through the Lord Jesus Christ that gave himself for you. And so then today we are his body, bone in particular, and his bone and body hath no sin. So then, he that is born of God, the Bible said, cannot sin, for the seed of God, even Christ, even the word of faith, remains in him and cannot sin because he is born of God. That means that he sanctifies our heart by faith. Paul turned my people from darkness unto light and unto the faith, my faith, this faith is which is by me, by which they are sanctified. So the Bible said he hath sanctified us once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he hath perfected or made perfect forever them that are sanctified, and he hath justified them by faith in the righteousness of Christ Jesus, and he hath glorified them, the Bible said. So who can lay anything to our charge? And what can you say to these things? Who can be against us if God be for us? Nothing can separate us from so great a love as to the love of God that gave the best thing that heaven could afford for us. So we see how secure we are, and our faith works by love. The more we learn about his love, the more we understand his love, the more we believe in that security. And our faith just rises up in a great way. It excels and becomes buoyant in a great way because of his love. His love is so great. I've given you all things that pertain unto life. He said, I would above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And he tells us that nothing can stop that prosperity, nothing can stop that blessings unless we cover our sins. And if we do, we won't prosper. But if we confess our sins and forsake our sins, whatever we do shall prosper. And he tells us that this love, once we're born again, can never be taken away from us or us taken away from it. That the only thing that can cause problems is iniquity getting between us and God. And that, of course, is not trusting in his word, not trusting in his righteousness, not trusting in his strength and in his power, because he hath done away with iniquity. I remind you so often that 500 years before Calvary, when the angel went to Daniel, said Messiah shall come and make an end of sin. And 483 years later, he came and made an end of sin by killing the body of iniquity and the image of iniquity and the body of sin, that wretched man, and took him out of the way. And today you are they that dwell in heaven. For the Bible said you're not in the world. God's chosen you out of the world, and he's hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. And he said, rejoice forevermore, ye that dwell in heaven. So we see then serving God is joy, peace, righteousness, and the Holy Ghost. And this is the way that we should remember. It is not in ritualistics. I remind you one more time. It's not in fasting. It's not in praying. It's not in doing good alms deed. It's not in giving anything. Though all these things must be in a Christian's life, and we must give them. And if you've got the Christ spirit on the inside of you, it will do that, because it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's what Christ's spirit did while it was in that body. But see, it had nothing to do with salvation. God wrought this by his own hand, by his own work, and called you while you were in your sins, having done no works whatsoever. And he saved you, wrote your names down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And as it was said in the Old Testament there concerning Judas, let another his bishopric take. Before he was ever born into the world, he was pegged to be a devil. When the time comes, Jesus chose him And before Satan entered into his heart, let him take part of that ministry as to a sovereignty, as God to decide him being a devil before knowledge, as to bring that foreknowledge to pass that God saw the evil way he would take. Then here he said, I chose 12, one of you is a devil. As Esau and Jacob, as by foreknowledge, seeing the evil route they would take after they were born, before they were ever born, formed in the mother's womb, he said, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. And so then today, God, having seen all of his works, for the Bible said all of his works are known unto him from the beginning, and looking from the beginning of the world, clear across the chasms of time, and looking at the end, he saw you as to what you would be in the end time, as to what you would do when you heard this word, and as to what you would act to, as to whether faith or denial when this word was preached to you. And so then today, judgment begins at the house of God. The preacher's preaching. And Jesus said, as my Father sent me, so send I you. Whosoever sins you remit shall be remitted. Whosoever sins you retain shall be retained. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Whoever you bless will be blessed. Whoever you curse will be cursed. Far as the Bible said, it's not you speaking, but your heavenly Father speaking from within you. And according to your faith and what that voice is saying, then you're saved. Jesus said, so often according to your faith, be it unto you. All right, so I said all that to say this, that this is a wonderful day. We've now come to Calvary where the manifold wisdom of God is made known unto us. And what is that manifold wisdom of God? That wisdom of God is that I am perfect forever and have been in the mind of God and the loins of my Father before I ever even came forth. See, and that I am delivered from sin and made without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. And I'm going through my courses to finish my course to finish my schooling to come to my diplomacy so that Christ will come back after me, the church without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. And so then I find that I'm born of God and cannot sin. For he that is born of God keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. Never at any time can the devil touch a child of God. See, so God has done this by his righteousness. That's why we rejoice. That's why we praise God. That's why we feel good. That's why we don't get under condemnation. That's why we are not cast down. The Bible said, happy is he that doth not condemn himself over that thing which you allow. If you stumble and stagger, and you know you're honest, and you know you're doing your best, and you stumble and stagger, and Satan fixes a place so you be tripped up, don't condemn yourself. Because when you do that, you throw your faith down. And the Bible said, cast not away your faith. It hath great recompense of reward. Take that shield of faith and keep it up there. Stay out from under condemnation and keep that shield of faith up. Said, for Satan cannot penetrate that. That will quench all the fire darts of the wicked. See, just keep going on from mountaintop to mountaintop because it's him anyway. It's his righteousness anyway. It's only your faith in what he done for you. Don't ever willful sin. See, if you willfully sin, it proves you never was born again. It proves you didn't have Christ in you to start with. Because if you'd had Christ in there, you'd have never willingly done those things. Because the Bible said, where these things are to the new birth, then it says there is no conscience of sin. He that is born of God cannot sin. He doesn't have any conscience of sin. It's like a man that's dead. He's not conscious of life. See, and our body is dead is that part of sin. It's not conscious. See, so we're not conscious of sin. We are conscious of life because we are born again. We are a new creature. Whole things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So then we see this wonderful thing that God has done. And then after having wrought this wonderful thing, then he sent his mind as to the spirit of his son in our heart, crying, Abba, Father, to let us know that he come down as God in this human body and done what we could not do, and that man is made a little lower than the angels. And the angels are demon powers, and Satan is a demon power that overthrows us, and he hath delivered us from him that was stronger than we. And he hath delivered us from that kingdom of darkness and translated us into the marvelous kingdom of light, even the kingdom of our God. The law and the prophets until John, since that time, the kingdom has been preached. Men pressed their way into it. That is the inner man pressing against the outer, the continual warfare between the body and the soul. All right, so then this mind has come. Now the veil is rent in twain. Now the door is open in heaven. 483, the seven divided from the 483. Had to come in the end time. And in between the arches to the rainbow as to those lights refracted as we strike the prism, as to the capstone there crying grace, grace, or the Father smiting the Son, and the seven attributes as to those angelic beings through what we call the church ages, and then this coming down through there as to the great door open in heaven, Peter opening that door to the Gentiles and the Jews, and then at the end of the church ages, Jesus standing in the midst of the candlesticks as to represent the churches that Paul established, and he said, I'm not me living, but it's Christ. So then we see the door open in heaven, and John caught up into heaven, so we know that there is a door open in heaven. That door is open right now and will be closed when the Gentile days is over. It's to Revelation 8, when the blood comes off the seat of atonement, he will be closed. And at the closing of this door, it means the 7 years of tribulation that's separated from the 483 that all together makes up the 490 that's determined upon the people of the Jews as the Daniel people. After a while, it's going to come back together. That is to say, this church age is going to run out over here, and it's going to come to the tribulation period, and the church is going out, and all of a sudden this gap is going to close as to the 7 years, coming back to this 483, and that's the end of the days of the Gentiles, and the bowels of compassion as to the church light gone. They can't reflect any knowledge or wisdom anymore, not even enough understanding, as I so often say, to perfect a bottle of medicine. There won't even be a doctor that can heal. No healing medicines. They'll gnaw their tongues for pain. They're kingdom will be full of intellectual darkness, and there won't be any wisdom at all. The light will go out as the church goes out. And as the Bible said concerning Sodom and Gomorrah, which was symbolic of the church translation, it said in the very day that Lot went out of Sodom and Gomorrah, then fire and brimstone was rained down from heaven. So we see how that by revelation, Christ is coming forth from glory to glory, as to 30-fold, as to 60-fold, as to 100-fold, as to whatever you believe or whatever you surrender this body to, as to give it to that inward Christ and that inward righteousness. He hath made you perfect forever, and you are sitting in those heavenly places, and you're caught up into heaven. But we've got to remember that Revelation 12 also shows that the devil is in heaven too. And though you are in heaven because of the works of Christ, and in heaven you are as the angels, for heaven is the spirit, and in the spirit, angels are spirit, and you are now quickening spirit, born to the spirit, no longer as a living soul, born into the world as a living soul, lost that life because of sin, in that the soul that sins will surely die, but the second man Adam, a quickening spirit, now you're born of his bone and flesh of his flesh, and as he is, so are we, as the quickening spirit are that is in him, the Bible says. All right, so then we see that this wonderful mind of God is given to us. It was given to Christ, now it's given to us in Christ. And this is that heavenly treasure, the manifold wisdom, to tell us of our health, our power, our ability over demons, and all the great riches and treasures and splendors and magnificence of eternal regime, of all these glorious things that belongs to you and I throughout eternity. And to give us this wisdom and understanding how that the present world is nothing but vanity and a reflection of that other world, and that it's going to diminish and pass away. But anyway, Satan is in heaven, and we say, what heaven? As to this lying vanity, this world of lying vanities. And when we get here, I always have to pause for a minute, because in explaining this, I have to make reference to something that sometimes can be a little distorting. But I say that you are in heaven, whereas someone would say, if this is heaven, I sure don't want to go to hell. Well, it just depends on who you are and where you are. You know, you might not be where we are. But anyway, you are in heaven. And the thing is, folks, whether you believe it or not, sinners are also in heaven. And that's why the devil is in heaven. Is because when Jesus died to take away the sins of the world, he didn't just die to take away your sins. He died to take away the sins of the world. And I know, you know, we kind of get self-righteous sometimes like the Jews. And we say, well, now bless God, I'll have you to know, he took away my sins. I'm a Christian. But beloved, he didn't take away your sins when you was a Christian. If you'd have been a Christian, you would have had no sins to be taken away. He helped you while you was a sinner. If he'd have took away your sins and had not took away their sins, he would have been respected a person, because you had done nothing for him to take your sins, no more than they've done anything for him to take their sins. But he died to take away the sins of the world so that he could have mercy on you, in that your body is not changed until the day of the change, giving mercy to the human body Because that image, though it's dead in the sight of God, buried in the name of the Lord Jesus, yet it is not dead so far as you're concerned as to you still warring against it. It's still there and very much in your way, and you have to conquer it by the life and the power of God that's on the inside of you, as to not to your righteousness, but as to your utilization. Because I say not as to your righteousness, because the Bible speaks of bringing forth fruit unto perfectness. And the Bible said some will not do this. As a matter of fact, it said some, all of their works shall be burned, but they themselves shall be saved as death by fire. That is to say, you can't get them to really stay in line. They're like a chronic case as to a disease, and they're up and down, they're in and out, and yet they love the Lord. But they have no strength, no perseverance, no drive. And we that are strong in the Lord, that can fast and pray and do these things and have faith and fight the devil, mothers in the gospel, to watch after the children. As Jesus said, if you love me, feed my lambs. Now, let me say this. This might not sound too good, but anyway, let me say this. See, the world today, you look around, all of the invisible things of God from the creation of the world being clearly understood by the things which do appear, even to the eternal Godhead, so that we're without excuse. When we look around, we see as to children of the church are those that should be the children that are taken care of in the church. They're wandering around out there. They are doped up. They are being ravished. They're losing their virtues. They're wandering around out there. See, and they're half naked. They're in rags. They're in rags. See, self-righteous rags. And the preacher, he's giving them just enough of the word to pervert it like Satan did to Jesus, to get them to follow after the world and follow after him so he can get into that body and get out of the dry places of the torment. See, the dispute is over the body. God is a spirit. He wants the body. He made it for himself as to life. Satan is a spirit. He wants the body. He wants it for frolic and for lust. All right, so then, when we look at this, we see that they have a little bit of religion here and a little bit there, and it's just enough to be tattered rags. See, and we see the preacher, when we see as to the father of the home, he's a drunkard. He's a drunkard. The preacher's drunk off the cares of life. He could care less about the children. What he's wanting is the money in the pocketbook, and he's wanting to build him a little empire, and he's wanting to be famous, be on TV, have all the good things of life. He doesn't care about the church. And the mother is the same thing. She's a harlot. As to the church, she is a harlot. She could care less about her children. She isn't watching after her children. A high steeple and pretty pews and all the glitter and the glamour and the money and whatever and the frolics, that's what she wants. See, and so you see a sad generation today. You see a sorrowful situation today. But folks, that's not the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to love God with all of our heart. We're supposed to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature and help them to come to Christ Jesus. For when the gospel has gone into all the world for a witness, then shall the end come. And not until then. All right, so we see that this wonderful mind of God, it is within us. What is it telling us? All the beautiful things of God. It is telling us that all things are given unto us that pertain unto life through the knowledge and the wisdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God has given us all these things through the knowledge. For when I read about it, that I have all things that pertain unto life, if I believe it, the word becomes life, and it becomes riches, and it becomes power. See, the word is everything. Everything emanates from the word. The diamonds come from the word. All the jewels come from the word. The stars come from the word. Everything comes from the word. Your strength comes from the word. Your life comes from the word. The word was made flesh with Jesus. And God is designed to confiscate, to bring together all of humanity, cleanse and purge them by faith in his righteousness and submission to him, to put this mind on the inside of them that all of them will think alike, talk alike. And when they all come, he said, I will bring Zion once again, and all will speak the same thing, and all will see eye to eye, and they'll never break ranks again, and they'll never pierce each other through. It won't be all of the division of religion of today. Each man won't have a personal thing he's trying to do and projecting himself or Satan to show off the flesh. But the flesh will be gone. It will be buried. It will be dead. And Christ alone will live. As Paul said, not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth within me. Killed all the day long, accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in these things we are more than conquerors through Christ that gave himself for us because he loved us. All right, so this mind is on the inside of us. I hear this mind say such beautiful things, and I know you do too because you're Bible scholars, but I hear it say such beautiful things to me. I can hear it talking with me all the time. And when I speak this word, see, it's not me speaking but Christ, because it's Christ on the inside. And through my vocal organs, though they may be repulsive to your ear, yet through human instrumentality, God is expressing himself as to a global expression. And God is coming through and he's speaking to you. And as I speak, the vibrations come out of me as to the vocal organs, as to the sound, as to striking the electronic flow of atomic particles or atoms or electrons around us. And that vibration makes its way over to your listening ears and to the ears, as to your nerves of hearing. It vibrates on them and then they go into here. And once they go into here, then they go into the body. Once they go into the body, they vibrate on down into the heart, into the brain, whatever. See, and they're even mixed with the blood flow and the energetic being of you as to the activation of a human exuberance. And there that life goes into your heart, their spirit, their spirit. This is a printed page, the Bible. We speak that, we write that, we print that. See, this is a sound. And the Bible said, not the sound go into all of the earth. He that hath an ear to hear. But Jesus said some don't have an ear. That is to hear what the voice of the Spirit is saying. So then he said, who hath believed our report? So then we preach you believe this report. The vibrations come. See, and these vibrations, as to sometimes we use the terms as to the hypothalamus, as to these cosmetic rays coming down of the cosmo, of the cosmic energy as through your hypothalamus down into your hypothalamus or whatever it might be, one being a bumper and the other is two down to the pituitary gland to divide severally the vibrations to every part of your body, even the innermost intricate parts of your body. See, and this is what I'm trying to say, that in the world, scientists say mind over matter. And so it is, men like Einstein, they prove mind over matter as to their intellectual ability, which is the mind of the devil. For all that is of the world is the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. It's of the devil, and it's of lust, and the world and the lust thereof passeth away. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. All that is of the world is the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. And Satan is the god of this world. He's the power of education, the power of the colleges, the power of the school, power of the medical world. He, even though medicine is good and these things come from God as to the goodness, but when that darkness as to intellectual ignorance come, when the church light is gone out, there'll not even be a reflection to where they can even perfect a healing medicine. So then all good things come from God. Every good gift comes down from God. And every bit of the wisdom that comes from God is first peaceable and easily to be entreated without partiality. All right, so then we see this mind. We see the vibrance of this mind and the activation of this mind and the quickening and exuberance that it causes when it illuminates a human being, as it was when the Spirit illuminated Adam and Eve, or when it illuminated Mary by overshadowing and the quickening, and thus the quickening and then the life. See, for there remaineth nothing more than the quickening, for God is an invisible quickening as to the Spirit, and God is the judge of the quickening and of the dead. And I wish we had time to explain that tonight. We see then that God will bring a healing. We say, Einstein, mind over matter. These people can take mass as to potentiality. And this potential energy that's in the form of mass, not being broken down, they can turn it into kinetic energy, and they can do this by breaking mass matter down, whatever the form of mass might be. See, they can break it down and get an equality of energy according to the weight of the mass. See, and in this, they've got released energy. They can take, as we would say simply, a block of ice and melt it down to water, and then from the water they can change it into steam, which are referred to as gas. Many other things they can do this way. See, and that's mind over matter. That's what Satan can do. See, oh, that's what you can learn from the old tree of knowledge. And he can confiscate with that in a numerical order, number everything, and control the heavens and the earth as to the natural parts. Even man's inward parts, he understands it. But folks, when it comes to mind over matter, as to real understanding, that is God's mind. God created matter. It's from his word, his spirit, his mind that all forms of matter emanated. And today, mind over matter means Christ is mind within you. And the Bible says, let this mind be in you, is also in Christ Jesus. Which means when His mind is in me, I can change the body. I can walk through the wall. I can lay my life down. I can take my life up. I can bring healing to the sick, open the blind eyes, unstop the deaf ears, raise the dead. He said, go preach, raise the dead, heal the sick. Whatever it is, see, it depends on the degree as to my submission and surrender of the outer man to let Christ Jesus live within my mortal genes to bring these things to pass. As to the perfecting of my faith, Jesus said, say what you will and don't doubt, it'll be done unto you. Say anything you want to, don't doubt, and it'll be given unto you. And they said, well, Lord, increase our faith. He said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could move a mountain. And then He turned right around and said, say what you will. Don't doubt. Say unto this mountain, be removed, and it'll be removed. See, and have you ever looked at a mustard seed? It is so tiny, you almost have to magnify it into existence. So, this we see, but He said this little tiny seed, as to the seed of God remaining in you, He said it's the least among herbs. But when it grows up and it's fully grown, it becomes a tree. And even the birds can lodge in the branches. Oh, that is to say, as to the Spirit, as to the faith, as to Christ, as to the tree of God, this tree of life, the angelic beings will come and lodge in the branches of this. As the angels ministered unto Jesus during the time of His travail, so will they minister unto you. All right, so then we see that this mind is so great. See, it is by His word, by His thought, by His mind, that these things are there. They are there to give you power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you, for greater is He that is within you than he that is in the world. Greater is Christ within you than Satan, that is the god of this world, even Lucifer, the god of the principalities and of the powers of the air. We're not wrestling against each other's flesh and blood, but against powers, against spirits. When they that are in the world confront you, you're not wrestling against them as a statesman or some kind of celebrity or some kind of officer or an ecclesiastical power in your local area. That's not what it is. That's demon powers. It's got those people that are in the high places. The worm, the serpent has climbed up into the upper lintel by grace. And He is, since the blood is on the seat of atonement, living in the bodies of human beings. And because the blood is on the seat of atonement, grace is over the whole world as a dispensational grace. And one day that dispensational grace will be gone and Satan will find himself standing in the darkness. That's the expulsion of Revelation 12. But you won't find it gone because you are born of grace. And the Bible teaches this grace, as to the grace of God, not dispensational grace, but the grace of God hath appeared unto every man, teaching him that denying worldly lust and ungodliness, that he should live soberly and righteously in this present world. So we see this wonderful mind. What can we do with this mind? See, there's coming an expulsion. When you come here to present yourselves, Satan comes also because he's in human bodies. And as long as the blood's on the seat of atonement, so it is to allow those human bodies to live until you can be changed from the human body, and then God will do away with that all at once because He's angry with the wicked every day. Their prayers are abomination in His sight. Their offerings are abomination in His sight. He said, I will pursue the wicked till they perish from off of the face of the earth. But this mind of Christ, whatever measure it is, as in me, in you. All right, now, let's look at it for just a few minutes and we'll close. I would say to you, here sits a man, his arm is withered. A prophet comes along, as in the Old Testament, the man's arm is withered. And he just reaches out, touches it, and all of a sudden it's whole again. A man comes as to the prophet, and he says, leprosy. And he says, go down to the muddy river and bathe yourself and you'll be all right. Of course, you remember the contest when he said, well, the rivers of Pharaoh, they're clean. That is, I don't like the holiness church. Too much mud on it. Let me go. We won't call the name of the others, but a lot of others, you know, outside of holiness. All right, anyway, people throw all the mud at this. But what he did not know, as I've said so many times, is that that river, that was where Jesus was to be baptized, in that Jordan River, and that's where the virtue was in the holiness church. Not in the churches that are so clean, that have their names, John likens people in the waters, as of them I chunder, that everybody praises and everybody looks to as the first church. Not that. See, the power was in the Jordan, because that's where the Son of God was coming. And so then Christ in the midst of you, because two or three of you are gathered together in His name. So we see here in this, that this mind, it comes along. The word of the Lord to the prophet soul, the hand that's withered, it's clean. And then all of a sudden the leprosy is gone. Just dip a few things, a time, and the water didn't take it away. But faith in the word of God from the man of God took it away. So then we see that the leprosy is gone. Now, the thing that's so beautiful is that you come along as to the word Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You come along and here's a man without an arm. What do you do? Here's a man without a leg. What do you do? Here is a man that's dead, without life, without spirit. What do you do? See, there's only one thing to do. If it's mind over matter, and it's Christ's mind that's created all matter, and you are now the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you now have the mind of Christ, as to the strength that you can apply to that, as being filled with the Spirit and the strength of your faith, then you can work the miracle. See, just like this right here, you've got to remember that faith does not come by fasting. You have to remember that. Faith does not come by prayer. Faith does not come by attending church. And faith does not come by giving of your substance to God or your time to God or conforming to do certain things as you're trying to live what you call a holy life. It does not give you faith. It cannot give you faith. Studying is the only thing. Faith cometh by the hearing of the word. I say, Brother Taylor, I want you to go to town. Do you believe that? He says, I believe that. I say, that's faith in what I said. That's the only way you can get it. You read it, what it says, you believe it, that's it. See, but you do strengthen your faith by fasting. You do strengthen your faith by praying. You do strengthen your faith by adding virtue to your faith, abstaining from the things of the world and godliness to your faith. And doing these things as a self-denial or doing the things that please God, whereby John said you give you heart confidence. Hereby we assure a heart, and this confidence is faith, that we believe God hears us when we pray. And if we know that God hears us, we know that we have the petition that we desire of Him, because it was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world ever was. And it's like a dam of water. It's pressing to get to us. And all you got to do is break the dam and turn it loose. That is that place of unbelief, or as to the iniquity. See, God will never leave you, friend. A mother may forsake her suckling babe, but God will never forsake you. I've engraved you in the palms of my hands as to the nails, and I may never forget you. See, the love of God never changes. God never changes. God isn't the one that's responsible for all the afflictions of the world. He's not responsible for the sickness and the poverty and the starvation of the world. God isn't responsible for all this reveling and all of this foolishness and death and fighting and all these things of the world, wars. From whence cometh wars? Is it not from the lust that warreth in your member? See, God doesn't do that. God is love every day of the week, every week of the year. He is love. He is a perfect state of love. He says, peace on earth and goodwill from God toward man through the death of my Son, to never alter it, to never change it. The word that's gone out of my lips, I will not alter it, I will not change it. I will hasten to perform my word, I will watch over it, and it will not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that I please and prosper in that whereunto I've sent it. So then, it's the same to 1,000 generations. Though the Jews had it not mixed with faith, it did not profit them. You may have it not mixed faith with it, you won't get any profit out of it. But to them that dare believe it, you may not believe it, so it doesn't work, but that doesn't mean the word doesn't work. It means it's just not working for you. It goes down to your neighbor's house, and he believes it, and he gets the benefit of it. See, so it's never God at fault. God doesn't judge anybody. He never changes from his state of love to judge you, to become angry and bitter and all these kind of things. He doesn't do that. He leaves all that to the Son. He put himself a human body down here to let that human body be the head of this family, called the Son of God, and He does all the judging. He is the one. See, and so then we know that He is the Word. And God is designed to make you the Word and make me the Word through this mind of Christ that's revealing itself to us as a little baby's mind as he grows up into manhood. So we see then that with what we're saying as to mind over matter, here we have the mind of Christ. And we have the power of God. And Jesus was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. And he said also that I beheld Satan as to him that hath power over death fall from heaven as lightning. I've destroyed him, even Satan that hath power over death. Who then do you have to fear? Aren't you in heaven and Satan is cast out? So when the man child went up, Satan went out. So we see that in every individual's life, as to the world having been set in your heart, it went out of you and the kingdom of God came within your heart, the world being the spirit of Satan and the kingdom of God being the spirit of Christ. See, and as it went out, your spirit and the kingdom of God, now that means Satan went out as to this inward part as to life in heaven. And so it will be as to this thing when the whole world changes. But anyway, we don't have time to comment on that. But I do want to say this, that all of these things that are in the earth, this poverty, is this Bangladesh thing, which really tears my heart up because I was invited into Bangladesh to hold a crusade during the time that we were in India. They offered to pay my way and I didn't. I didn't go over because I didn't feel to at that time. There's been one devastation right after another and it's just tore me all up. And right now, we're making a move for that and it looks like the Lord's going to bless as David Paul has took a big step and some of the others working with him, and they're going to have this on the news. You'll probably see it on television as to the news when they advertise Little Bethlehem or the Eternal Abundant Life work as they make their move to help the people of Bangladesh and make mention of Ethiopia and some of the other countries, but especially Bangladesh. And we've already coordinated with the people that we have to coordinate with that's on this side over here to make sure that we get it over that side, and we've already got ships to take it, and we've already got going on the news and already got on TV, numbers of things that's already done that, as a matter of fact, I think one of the newsmen of the Gwinnett paper wants to make the trip over so that he may do a special story on you people down here as to your efforts toward the Bangladesh crisis. He said he wanted to be right there on the scene and to write a story on it. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is this. See, God isn't responsible for hunger and poverty and all these kind of things. That's not God's way. People are so little in their mind, they get so bitter and contrary that they blame God with all these things when God is the one that made Adam and Eve and put them in a garden with no problems. And that death came by man. That's the enemy of God. Adam and Eve in the garden, no problems. Did God give them any problem? The devil gave them problem. She lusted after the tree, and sin is in the world because of lust. So then we know that God didn't do it. God came to give his blood from his very veins as a human being to take away all these problems and then ask you to work with him as a comrade, as a fellow, to eliminate, to eradicate, to take all this problem away. Jealousy, envy, all the connivings of ugliness, manipulating, these things that rob and steal. Satan is a robber. He's a thief. He's a killer. He's a cheat. He's a glamour boy. He's a celebrity. He's a money man. He's mad after passions. He is wanting to give preeminence to the body, savors the things that be of the flesh to project himself. See, but not so with Christ. He humbled himself. He sought to make of himself no reputation. He washed the disciples' feet to leave them an example, to show them that humility goes before honor and pride before destruction. And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted, and he that exalteth himself, he said, I shall abase. All right, so then when we see these wonderful things, we know that God says when he binds Satan during the 1,000 years, nothing shall harm in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. There shall be perfect peace during that whole regime of the 1,000 years. So we see this mind, we see this wonderful mind of the Lord Jesus, and what happens? We have that wonderful power. That power to do what? That power is mind over matter. If that hand is missing, you have the power to restore that hand. Somebody would say, oh no, Brother Pike, you could never have power like that. The Bible said they marvel at Jesus to think that God had given such power unto man. That's what the Bible said. And he said, behold, I give unto you power over all the powers of the enemy. I just got to tell you that God wasn't responsible for the hand being cut off. What happened to the hand? Satan is a robber. You listened to him, you went the wrong way, you got in the wrong place at the wrong time. Wasn't walking properly with God, off it goes. Something happens to you, some disease, something strikes. Could happen to any of us. It does to the best. See, and sometimes we don't have faith to prevent it. Sometimes we just don't have faith to cope with it, but might still love the Lord. So then, I said that to say this. You come to that, and if you have enough faith, remember now, the Bible said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven, the accuser of the brethren, when the man-child went up, which was at Calvary, and when Jesus ascended up on high, and Satan went out, and God done away with iniquity and sin forever, and it's gone. It's gone forever. Remember, it's gone forever. So now it's come power, Revelation 12 said. And so then he spoke and said, now it's come power. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Or the original rendering is when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. So then power is Christ Jesus, the Spirit of Christ within you that overcomes all things. Far greater is he that is within you than he is in the world. And the Bible said, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even your faith in God. or his righteousness. So then we see that sin is gone, death is gone. I say one more time to you, how is sin gone? Why is it that you cannot sin? Why do I say that you pass from death unto life and cannot die? Because if Messiah made an end of sin, then that means he done away with the law. For the Bible said the law shall not pass away till every jot and every tittle of it be fulfilled. And Paul said, I'm afraid of you, you Jews. You keep certain days. You eat certain things. He said, I'm afraid of you. Don't you know that this is by faith? Are you so foolish? He said to the Galatians when he rebuked Peter, having begun in the Spirit as to God saving you while you were yet in your sins, you're doing nothing. Now you think you are made perfect by your deeds? Are these things that you do, that this is needful for your salvation? Even though it's a daily sanctification, it has nothing to do with being sanctified once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus unto salvation. See, and so then, Jesus coming, what did he do? He fulfilled every jot and tittle. Think not that I've come to destroy the law, but rather to fulfill it. And he fulfilled every jot and tittle, and the law and the prophets until John. Then it passed away, folded it up and laid it away. And Paul said, we therefore conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the flesh and without the deeds of the law. Not of works, lest any man should boast, but it is the gift of God. So then I say once again, what is sin? Transgression of the law. If there is no law, Paul said, where there's no law, there's no transgression. If transgression of the law is sin, and if there's no law, there's no transgression. If there's no transgression, there's no sin, because transgression of the law is sin. If there is no sin, there's no death, because sin is the sting of death. And O sin, where is thy sting? And if there's no sting of death, grave, where is thy victory? So we see the saying brought to pass is not as of yet, because the world hasn't comprehended it. But we have, because we pass from death unto life and shall never come into condemnation. See, they that walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit, there is now therefore no condemnation to them. And no one can lay anything to their charge, because they are justified by the full knowledge of God as to God's elect being made perfect. And when it comes to, as we say, as to their justification and their righteousness, God gave it to us in Christ before the world ever was. When it comes to their condemnation, happy is he that does not condemn himself of that thing which he allows us to stumbling. See, they do not walk in the flesh. Therefore, there's no condemnation to them. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I try not to walk in the flesh. Folks, you've got to get away from that. See, it's not a matter of you trying to walk in the flesh or not trying to walk in the flesh. You're not even in the flesh. God killed your flesh by Calvary. Your spirit went back to God who gave it. You're not in the flesh. You're not in the world. You can't walk in the flesh. That's impossible. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, you can't do that. That's why you can't sin. So we understand then by this, through the mind of Christ, as to this wonderful treasure that we have in these earthen vessels, we understand just how great and mighty we are in Christ. Without him, we're not equal to a worm. I said the other night, you're not equal to a dog. Better to be a dog. Better to be a worm. A worm dies. I don't care if you're president. Better to be a worm. The worm dies, he doesn't go to hell. The president dies, he goes to hell. You know, he's got to live right. You're better off to be a worm. Better off to be a dog. But anyway, in Christ you are a mighty God. Jesus said, ye are gods. I so often say, he that is a man begets a man, and a dog begets a dog, and an elephant begets an elephant, and gods beget gods. And we are begotten of his Son. We are begotten of God. We are his image. We are his body. We are gods. Jesus said, you're gods. But you need to get the knowledge of God so that you don't die like men. He was God and was willing to die as a man on Calvary so that we could live. So that we could, with the redemption of the body, not have to die. And we don't die because we're born again. But I have to take time a lot of times to explain that, because a lot of people say, well, I see all kinds of people going into the grave, Brother Pike, whether they're Christians or whatever, and they die just like everybody else. Now, I don't disagree with you about them going into the grave, but I do disagree with you about them dying. They do not die. Christians cannot die. They pass from death into life. See, they go to sleep. Somebody says, well, six of one, half a dozen another. You're dead, you're done, you're dead. You know, like a black man told me one time, he said, when you're dead, you're done. No, that's not it at all. See, God is a spirit, and God is in your spirit, and God is the Father of spirits, and your spirit dwells in your body, and if you let Christ in, he dwells in there with you. I stand at the heart's door and knock. Open, I'll come in and sup with you. Or you let the devil in there, see? See, so that means that's a little house that you live in, like the priest of the Old Testament, I say so often, checking out the plague to see if it's terminal. But anyway, as to this, then we find that the Lord comes in. That means that God is a spirit. And to separate God, the spirit, from your spirit is death. That's the lake of fire, called the second death and the only death. For the other death is asleep. He said, Lazarus sleepeth, I go to awaken him. When they couldn't understand, he said, he's dead, so I go over, I awake him. And everyone that goes asleep, Jesus will awake them at his coming. Because sleep is not separation of spirit from spirit, as your spirit from God's spirit. That's death. But sleep is your separation of spirit from your body. When the body without the spirit is dead as to human terms, but it's really asleep. So the spirit in Christ, interwoven within, goes to God who gave it, and your body lays down to rest. And you that have already been baptized in Jesus' name, as to death, buried in his death, raised in the resurrection as to his likeness, you don't have to die. See, we're coming to a knowledge where as we know that we don't die, we've done past that. But he said, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We don't even have to sleep. We don't even have to let the spirit depart from the body. There's coming a time of change when we're coming to an understanding as to wit the redemption of the body, and that Christ has already redeemed the bodies to the purchase possession in the dispute right now between God and Satan is over the body. And we've got to win out over it through our faith to bring this body in as surrendering and conforming to his ways to manifest the life of Christ in it, and then it's redeemed like that. As to that light. What God is trying to do is get the mind of Christ, speaking of transology, trying to get the mind of Christ into you as an individual, into me as an individual, and all over the world. And when the gospel has been preached in all the world to every creature, then shall the end come. And he's trying to get this mind in you, that if he can get it in every one of us to where we'll coordinate. We're like little children, even we that have it. One's on one level, one on another level, and sometimes we cross each other up. And Satan does not want this mind in you. Let this mind be in you as to the membership of his body, as there was in Christ Jesus. The mind of Christ, the accord to do the will of God. See, and when he gets every Christian into that one mind, the translation is going to be just like that. And when I say translation, we speak of transology as to transfiguration. First step, your spirit translated into the spirit of Christ is in the kingdom of God. The law and the prophets till John since that kingdom. The kingdom is here. Your spirit translated into the kingdom of God, into the spirit of Christ. That's translation, instantaneous, new birth. And then a progressive thing through your lifetime as to Christ been formed within you, as to his mind and your mind, the transformation of the mind, to be renewed by the transforming of your mind. So in this, that is the transformation, second step. And then as to the third step of transology, when you come to this, as to where the life of Christ is made manifest in your mortal genes, as to whatever measure you've got, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, as to what place you have in the body of Christ, so that is to say, transformating in mind is through your lifetime, is to your diplomacy, as to whatever you're to be, as to the heights of glory you're to reach, then all of a sudden this life that came through translation of your spirit and has worked its way around through the transformation of your mind is suddenly made manifest in your body and transfiguration like that. And that's the third step. And all of a sudden the light that comes out of the bulb lights the room up and the briars are gone and the millennium here and everything comes singing and everything is gone and the devil is bound as to the works of Satan. And what a happy time is the vision we saw a few days back when we saw that as the fire and brimstone came down, everything burnt up, and then all of a sudden the beautiful millennium came in. Okay, so you understand this mind is to mind over matter. You've got this mind. As to a child's mind, let it grow up. Get strength. And after a while, you can handle the situation. See, you can take over your father's business. Coming to the right place, as to the right place, then you can walk up to that person that's got that hand that's missing, and you can command Satan to turn that loose, because somewhere the atomic particles that make up that hand, every atom that's gone, it's somewhere, and Satan has got it in bondage. He's a robber. His mind is in control of the atomic particles. He's the prince of the powers of the air. And when you come along, the government being on the shoulders of the sons of God and all of this belonging to us, him having wrestled it out of the hand of Adam, we come back to command as the second man, Adam, as bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, back to our inheritance, and we command him to turn it loose, or we bind the devil and cast him out. Or whatever we do, we've got power over all the powers of the enemy. We can destroy his power. We can bind the devils. We can cast out the devils. They're afraid of us. Draw nigh to God. Get a little strength. Resist the devil. He'll run from you. He'll flee from you. Like those devils that said to Jesus, Are you going to torment us before our time? Let us go away into the herds of swine. Send us away in another country. See, son, saying that to you, that when you command that to be turned to loose, every one of those atoms will come right back to its originality. For it wasn't so in the beginning. Those atoms that to make up that hand belongs to that man. It was given to that man and God. Satan robbed him of them. When they're turned loose, they come right back just like they was to start with. See, and it's the same way with us, an impairment of body on the inside, a malfunction, whatever it might be, blinded eyes. See, it belongs to you. Every hair of your head is numbered, and not one of them shall perish. All of them is yours. All of them is yours. Your youth is yours eternally when you come to God. Death, aging, all of that has to do with death. See, and I say this right hurriedly, that Enoch, I say so often, did not jog a day, but he lived a long time. He didn't have to jog to live. See, jogging don't bring life. All that's a bunch of fantasy that Satan is using. See, Enoch, 300 years old. Methuselah, 900 years old. Noah, about 600 years before the flood. Maybe 400 years after the flood. You understand what I'm saying? Life, the body don't wear out. It's not that at all. Satan does that. Sin does that. Corruption does that. Folks, like Moses, his eyesight hadn't waxed dim. Like Abraham, his youth was renewed. Sarah's youth was renewed. Like Elijah, caught away like that, still somewhere alive in glory. Enoch, translated by faith that he should not see death. The church, not being under the law as it was with Enoch, before the law there, after the law here. See, that means no transgression. We'll be translated like Enoch, as to the seventh from Adam. How do you understand what I'm saying? Let's give the Lord a hand and let's stand together. All right, let's sing a little chorus together, can we? Hallelujah. Praise God. Don't you feel good being a son of God? The brother sings out of the island, I feel good, 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 I feel good. I hear them little children sing that song, I feel good. Serving God is joy because you know you've won the battle and the devil is finished and he can't touch you. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I feel good. I feel good. I think we ought to give him another hand. I feel good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One more time. Without him, I can do nothing. So without him, I can do nothing. Sing that with me. And without him, I would but fail. And without him, I would be drifting just like a ship with without any sail. Sing that with me, will you? Oh, Jesus, sweet Jesus, won't you hear him today? Don't turn him. Susie, how about you and the Floyds? Come up here singing with me, can you? I'm a little hoarse tonight. Oh, Jesus, without him, help me, Frank, how lost I would be. Can you sing one more time with me? So without him, you can do nothing. And without him, you would be. And without him, you'd be drifting just like a ship without a sail. Don't you love him, folks? Let's sing this little chorus together. And he was here all the time. Sing that with me now. And he was here all the time, waiting patiently in line. My Lord was here all the time.
and he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joys that flood my soul. Something has happened, and now I know that Jesus touched me, and he made me whole. Oh yes, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joys that flood my soul. Something has happened, and now oh, I know that Jesus touched me, and he made me. Is that the light of home I see? Do I feel the breeze from the crystal sea? With the Lord standing high on heaven's balcony, that's the lights of home, a welcome sight to me. Seems I can hear all the angels sing with harps of gold and a thousand strings. Earth goes on when I hear that song. Sweet Beulah Land, it's my home, sweet home. At the light, hallelujah, of home I see. Do I feel a breeze from the crystal sea? With the Lord standing far on heaven's balcony, that the lights of home, a welcome sight to me. Can you say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Give me a key phrase. I stand upon the mountain, looking over into that city. Gives me faith that I can make it. Far after all this life is over, run my burdens have been lifted, and I stand upon the mountain oh so far, looking over into the city that my Lord said he's preparing. Gives me faith that I can make it after all. And I thank you for the valleys
I walk.
The more I learned to pray, found you were the lilies there blooming by the way. So I thank you for the valleys
I
walk through today. Thank you, pray. every time the sun didn't shine. Thank you for every lonely night. I prayed till I knew that everything was alright. And I thank you for the valleys
I walk through
today. Life can't be all sunshine, or the flowers would die. The rivers would be desert, all barren and dry. Life can be all blessings, or there'd be no need to pray. So I thank you for the valleys
I walk through
today. Thank you for every hill I climb, for every time the sun didn't shine. Thank every lonely night, I prayed till I knew that everything was alright. And I thank you for the valleys
I walked through today.
Let's give him another hand, can you? Hallelujah. God is good to us. Let's sing this little chorus. Across the bridge, there's no more sorrows. Across the bridge,
there's no more pain.
For the sun's gonna shine across the river, and I'll never be again. Sing that with me. In this life we're living in, I have lived a life of sin. I've done forbidden things I shouldn't do. I heard my Savior along the way. I asked him for a place to stay where there is real happiness and love that's true. He said across
the bridge, and no
sorrow.
Cross
the bridge,
there's no more pain,
for the sun's gonna shine across the river, and I'll never be unhappy again. I read in the Bible where God so loved sinner, gave his son to die on the cross. And he gave his life on the cruel cross of Calvary. Thank the Lord for his wonderful love.
Praise God.
There's a bridge over the river. Someday I shall see her safely, where the unbelieving will dwell there forever. Thank the Lord for his wonderful grace. I read where he said, let not your heart be troubled, I go to prepare you a place. Streets of gold, gates of pearls, with pure walls of jasper. Thank the Lord for his marvelous grace.
Thank God
there's a bridge over the river. Someday I shall see his
face.
Thank God.
Thank God. Let the rich children rejoice.
The young shall see the sweet thing.
Let him
say, now
the Lord will. Thank the Lord for this marvelous thing. Let tomorrow
be tomorrow.
Sing it with me.
And if the rain falls on the sunshine,
I'll be happy,
oh, I'll be happy in my soul.
We'll let tomorrow just be
tomorrow.
We'll just serve the living
sing one or two more little choruses and we're going to close. Gone, that stone is rolled back, gone, and the tomb, it's empty, gone, to sit at my Father's side. For he's gone over death's triumph. Gone, sin is defeated, gone, and he lives forevermore. For it's gone, I saw the stone, it's rolled up and gone, I saw the tomb, it's empty, gone.
Didn't you see it? Wasn't some of you there with me? For he's gone,
over death
triumphant, gone, sin is defeated, gone, he's alive. Let's sing it like this now. For it's gone, the heart of stone, it's blown back, gone, the fleshly tomb, it's empty, he's gone. To sit at my Father's side. Gone, over death triumphant, gone, sin is defeated, gone. I'm alive forever.
Once was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore.
For it is gone, the heart of stone, it's ruled back, gone, the fleshly tomb, simply gone. I sit at my Father's side, for I'm gone, over death triumph, gone, sin is defeated, gone. I'm alive forevermore, and I shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more, for the angels will stand on the sea and the no more. And time, remember now, the law and the prophets till John, the fullness of time came,
And he as to whom the promise was made, and the Bible said, and this is the fullness of time. For in the fullness of time God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that was under the law, to take us away from death, and to translate us into the marvelous kingdom of our God, to put us in those wonderful heavenly places. And so then, the angel in Revelation 10 and 7 stands as to those 7 years that must be joined to the 483 to bring it back to Calvary. And in that when this time comes, that means it's all over. The time is all finished. It's your day. It's your hour. It's your moment. See, it's your time to be able to come into this wonderful, wonderful thing of God. The law and the prophets. Then time is no more. Time is no more. The church ages came in. The Jews went out. The church will go out. The Gentile age is over. The Jews will come in. Will be. Remember the message I preached? Time is no more. Remember what time was, how it started, how time ended. Shall be no more. No more. And time shall be no more. Follow the angel, he'll stand. Can you lift up your hands? That was Jesus. You're the body and members in particular of him, can you? You bypass time, beloved friend. You can never die. Time to be born, a time to die. That are born of God cannot die. So time shall be no more. No more. And time shall be no more. For the angel he'll stand on the sea. Now let's lift our hands together, close our eyes and sing, I will praise him. Can you give him a wave offering? I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Let us time together, and I will but ask Richard the Jew if he'll come up and dismiss us tonight. The end of the days of the Gentiles and the Jews came in. Raise the Lamb for us. And we'll heal.